Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Carter Rich, Senior Director, Equipment Rules and Conformance with the United States Golf Association. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. Glad to be here.
Tell us what that means, what you do for the USGA.
I've been with the USGA for about 22 years now, a long time. Never thought I would be here this long. But my job is really working on the rules side of things with equipment, working with the RNA to make the rules, to make sure that we're interpreting them and applying them consistently across the board and around the world, and making new ones when we need to, and working on the language for that, working with manufacturers to make sure that as they're making equipment, if they want to, they can check with us to make sure that it does conform. And at the major level, when you're playing at professional and elite amateur level golf, usually your driver, if you're a manufacturer, has to be on that list in order to be played. Your golf ball has to be on a list in order to be played. So we administer all of that as well.
And Carter, how good are you? What's your handicap?
My handicap has been growing. It is now something like 7.0, somewhere in that range.
Well, that makes you a lot better than most people listening or people on this show. Thank you for joining us. So, of course, this is all about the proposed USGA rule change. It's sparked a little controversy. Tell everybody what the rule change is that has been proposed.
Pretty simple. We are proposing a model local rule, and that means that it's an option of any competition committee to put it into effect or not. And that model local rule means that we'll test golf balls. We currently test at 120 miles an hour club head speed when we test for conformance. And we're going to move that to 127 miles per hour. We currently hit a 10 degree launch angle. We move that to 12 if we were to adopt this proposal, and then reduce the spin a little bit as well to test golf balls for conformance.
Kevin Powell is with us. Not only is our sports guy, our sports anchor here on the show, but he is also an avid golfer.
Carter, it's great to talk to you. Let's talk about just the root of why this is happening. We've seen, you know, iconic places like Augusta have to lengthen holes out, and from my understanding, this, for the most part, is going to affect the elite golfers, our professional golfers. For us weekend hacks, it probably isn't going to change much, or will it?
It should not. So what will happen is that if the model local rule is made and adopted, then manufacturers would need to make golf balls for only those level of golfers. The golf balls that are being made today, they can keep making. So what you buy today, you could arguably buy 2 or 3 years from now if the rule went into effect.
And what have you heard from most of the players, their reaction to this, the professional players?
That's something that, you know, and we don't go directly to them. We have somebody from our player relations who has gone out to talk with players. You've seen a lot of the press where it's probably a higher level a number of players that percentage-wise are at least initially reacting to it and not liking it. And I understand that I'm out there. This is my job. This is my livelihood. And you are proposing something that will change that. There are some other golfers though that are definitely have been supportive. I think time should go on and we should first, you know, let things settle and let people think more about the proposal and its effects before we get too far and understand a little bit more about it.
Carter Rich is the Senior Director, Equipment Rules and Compliance for the United States Golf Association, talking about these proposed changes that would not take place till 2026, right, Carter?
Yeah, if adopted, it would be at current proposal 2026.
And just a quick text message, this would be a simplistic question that I would ask because I'm not an avid golfer. But if the PGA is going to roll back the golf ball, this person says maybe they should roll back the clubs too. Remember when a wood was a wood?
Yep, and we have a very, very bright group of engineers and mathematicians on both sides of the pond, so to speak, both the RNA and USGA staffs. We also employ various consultants along the way as well. And one of the things that we did look at, obviously, if you look at the proposal from a year ago, and that was really an area of research, we have a process that we follow, which we call the Vancouver Protocols. We had a conference with the group of manufacturers back in 2011, I believe it was, and we discussed the rulemaking process and how we could both see better ways to improve it. And so what we did back then was to lay out steps as to how we would proceed in the future with rules proposals. And the first step would be, hey, we're looking at this area of research, and we're going to tell you about it just in case we move to the next phase, which is where we are now in the proposal phase. And so, that's something that we've done. And the first, I'm going back, but the first area of interest we talked about was both club and ball changes. But after feedback from that cycle, we got to this point where, after listening to manufacturers, to players, and to other interested parties in the industry, we said, well, this is a better proposal. This kind of responds to some of the concerns that were raised in that first round.
Here's the other thing we were speaking about. We now have golfers who are elite athletes. I understand that, you know, the ability to hit that ball further and further has continued to increase for the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It really does have to do with the physicality of the game when you're talking about elite athletes, as opposed to maybe guys who had a drink and a cigarette in their hand back in the, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So is the game overall going to continue to change as these people continue to up their athleticism?
It's possible, yes. We think, and one of the reasons we are doing this is because we believe we are not at the end of the improvements in physical performance that players can attain. And if we don't do anything today, then 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, then when the best golfers are playing on the courses that exist today, the game would change, and the courses would need to react to that. And we're trying to stop that cycle from occurring.
Interesting. Kevin, is it a ball you want to use? Do you
no,
need this?
I need all the help I can get. So as long as nothing changes for me on a Saturday afternoon in the summer, Carter, I'm not too opposed to it.
Hey, we were thinking of you when we put in that this proposal and went to only a model local rule. The original area of interest was a golf ball change that would have affected across the board. And we listened and we said, you know what, we don't want to affect you, so we're gonna affect the players that really are making the difference and causing things to occur at the golf course level in terms of lengthening.
And would this be limited to the U.S. when they play Scotland or they play other courses worldwide? This rule would not be in effect?
Well, no. So this rule, again, is a model local rule. And so there's a set of rules that if you choose to play by the rules of golf, which are jointly written by the USGA and the RNA, then, this rule is not in effect. But if you're a competition committee that chooses to adopt this rule, it could be adopted anywhere in the world.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Carter.